everybody, it's Jamie. I hope you're all doing well. I am doing great. Today is 110 days since I last smoked weed. It feels amazing. Even though I have an old injury flaring up the last week and a lot of pain going on, I still have no desire to smoke. And if you guys remember, that was one of the reasons why I slipped up last time, was just trying to get some relief from some pain. But I think sometimes pain is a good reminder, because this injury happened when I was trashed. I was out riding my bike on the bike trails in the middle of the night with a bunch of my buddies, and we were headed back from the bar, totally trashed. I was taking shots of liquor on top of all the beer we drank, and of course smoking weed. Well, these turtles like to get up on the trail and dig holes, and they leave holes and big giant mounds of dirt everywhere. And for some reason, my buddy thought it would be fun to trade bikes. So I was riding his bike, and he had these big stupid metal handles. I don't even know what you call them. They look like horns on the end of his handlebars. And I'm just cruising along, no hands, moonlight, just loving the night. And I got a little too close to the edge of one of those holes that the turtles dug, and my front tire went right in the hole. And so it threw me forward, but it turned my wheel, my handlebars. So that big metal horn thing on the end of his handlebars went right straight into my chest. And the momentum flung my face straight into the ground. And so I was embarrassed, I guess, that I wrecked. So I hurry up and find my glasses and jump up I'm okay, I'm okay. And then immediately felt like I was going to puke. Everything I had drank that night hit me all at once. And I sat back down, and then I laid down, and I was like, I'm not okay. And then I passed out. And I woke up, and my friend was sitting on me, dude, are you okay? Wake up, wake up. And I was like, what the fuck, you know? And then I actually felt well enough to ride home, so I made the rest of the ride home. I felt really dizzy and nauseous and everything. I go home and I pass out on my couch, which probably wasn't the best idea. I probably should have went to the ER, but I didn't realize how bad it was because, you know, I was drunk. I wasn't really feeling any pain. I woke up that morning at 6 o'clock in the morning in some of the worst pain I ever felt. I couldn't breathe. So I went into the ER, and sure enough, I broke a bone in my, I broke a rib in my chest where it's connected to my sternum, the second or third rib down, I think. I can't really remember. It's been a while. And messed up my collarbone pretty bad. Dislocated my shoulder. Had road rash all over my shoulder, my elbow, my knee, my ass. It was not great. And I would have just showered that off, but no, they seemed to see the need in scrubbing it, which I'm sure, you know, we don't want infection or anything, but that was not fun. Anyways, long story short, it's funny how we forget sometimes the long-term effects of the consequences of our drinking and drugging and stupidity. And concussion on top of it. Concussions are not good. That's damaging your brain. And the more you get, the more worse it is. I've had 3 concussions now, and 2 of them were from being drunk and stupid. So before we go any farther, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for all our many blessings. Thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity to come on the podcast. Thank you for all the listeners. Thank you for joining us together and bringing this into our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you heal my pain that I got going on. Any pain that anybody else is dealing with, if that's the reason that they smoke, then heal their bodies, Lord. Restore their health so that they no longer need that for pain relief. Anybody else just struggling with maybe emotional pain, that too, I pray that it leaves their bodies. I rebuke the spirit of addiction. I think I'm going to continue to do that every podcast because it's so important. Like, you are not welcome here. I rebuke the spirit of fear, loneliness, depression, anxiety. Leave in the name of Jesus, and all the listeners under the sound of my voice be blessed by the healing hands of God and the grace of Jesus, the comfort from the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Yeshua. In your name we pray. Amen. Homeschool again soon. And to start the year out this year, I want to have the girls create like vision boards to kind of just gauge like, what do you guys want your homeschool year to look like? Like, what do you want more of? What do you want less of? What did we learn from last year? Do you want to learn the piano or take up soccer? Or maybe you want to learn baking more, whatever. So I was flipping through magazines and like cutting out random pictures and stuff for them to use. And my parents get the Signs magazines. They're from Seventh-day Adventists, Signs of the Times. And I come across one that was had pot leaves all over it. So, of course, it caught my attention. So I cut it out so I could read it to you guys. And this is from February of this year. And it says, why cannabis addiction is up. Over the past decade, the number of people seeking treatment for cannabis addiction has increased by 76%, according to the European Monitoring Center for Drugs and Drug Addiction. It's no coincidence that during that same time, the average strength of cannabis products increased around the world. Now, this is the part that gets me. It says, a review published in The Lancet Psychiatry linked higher concentrations of THC, the main psychoactive ingredient in these products, with a greater likelihood of getting hooked. Really? No shit. We had to have the smart guys figure this out? Oy vey. So yeah, I think I'm gonna like hang that on my fridge or something. I don't know. It's a good reminder. So, I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if, you know, of course, I think all parents, like, am I doing a good job? Am I really getting through to these kids, you know? My daughter literally broke up with her boyfriend because he was talking about smoking weed. I'm not gonna lie, that makes me super happy. I feel like I'm doing a good job. Like, okay, she's got standards. She's got better standards than I did at that age, that's for sure. Like, she's gonna go somewhere in life. So, I think the main topic I kind of wanted to talk about in this episode is, like, for those of you who might still be kind of on the fence and not sure if you really have a problem, if you really need to quit, maybe you're in denial, or maybe it's really not an issue for you. So, first of all, let's start with the Bible. Proverbs 23:29-35 says, whose heart is filled with anguish and sorrow? Who is always fighting and quarreling? Who is the man with bloodshot eyes and many wounds? Is it the one who spends long hours in taverns trying out new mixtures? Don't let the sparkle and smooth taste of strong wine deceive you. For in the end, it bites like a poisonous serpent. It stings like an adder. You will see hallucinations and have delirium tremors. And you will say foolish, silly things that would embarrass you to no end when sober. You will stagger like a sailor tossed at sea, clinging to a swaying mast. And afterwards you will say, I didn't even know it when they beat me. Another drink. I think it's funny the part that says, who has bloodshot eyes and many wounds? Ooh, me. That was me. I was literally just telling you one of my horror stories. I apologize if there's any lapse or, I don't know, glitches in my recording. My dog just started barking and I had to start over on part of that because as I'm reading this verse and talking to you guys about this, my neighbors are out here in the fucking backyard yelling at each other and being stupid and drunk. And she's all yelling at him to shut up. And it's like, dude, you're yelling too. And he's like, I don't give a fuck. I'll wake up all the fucking neighbors. And then I'm out in my garage and I thought it was my girls at first. So like I was going to go check on them. And then, so the dog got out. So he's going back to where the neighbors are yelling, barking at them. And I'm like, Odie, come on, get over here. You know, trying to get my dog to stop barking and just ignore it. They're being stupid. It's not a real threat, I guess. No, he keeps going all the way back there in the alley. And I'm like in my pajamas with no bra, no shoes. And I'm back there trying to get my dog. And then this, excuse me, Lord, please forgive me, but this prick tells me to go the fuck home. It's like, you know what? Never mind, Odie. Fucking bite him. I don't even care. Like, what the fuck, dude? Like, you're the one raising hell at literally 1 o'clock in the freaking morning. And you're yelling at me to go home? Fuck off, dude. I'm sorry, but that's what alcohol does to people. Makes them mean and rude and inconsiderate. 1 o'clock in the freaking morning. People got work tomorrow, you know? Like, I literally work a double shift tomorrow. I'm trying to get through this podcast. Okay, anyways, I'm sorry. Letting it go. Letting it go. And I'm so thankful that that's not me anymore. That I'm not the nuisance out there raising hell at 1 o'clock in the morning anymore. So, I had a listener email me and say how they used to be a part of like a Facebook group, and it was really nice being able to chat and stuff. I just gotta say, the meetings are where it's at, guys. Like, that is the place you wanna go if you wanna fellowship and find support and meet people. You can chat in the there's a chat option in the meetings. People are always putting their numbers on there, willing to be sponsors, and check it out. And there's a lot of great literature too. MA uses, their book is called Life with Hope. And I'm gonna read from that a little bit now. This is for all of those, you know, if you're still on the fence and you're still not sure. Who is a marijuana addict? We who are marijuana addicts know the answer to this question. Marijuana controls our lives. We lose interest in all else. Our dreams go up in smoke. Ours is a progressive illness, often leading us to addictions to other drugs, including alcohol. Our lives, our thinking, and our desires center around marijuana, scoring it, dealing it, and finding ways to get high. And then, if you're still not sure after reading that, there's the 12 questions of Marijuana Anonymous. The following questions may help you determine whether marijuana is a problem in your life. 1. Has smoking pot stopped being fun? 2. Do you ever get high alone? 3. Is it hard for you to imagine a life without marijuana? 4. Do you find that your friends are determined by your marijuana use? 5. Do you use marijuana to avoid dealing with your problems? 6. Do you smoke pot to cope with your feelings? 7. Does your marijuana use let you live in a privately defined world? 8. Have you ever failed to keep promises you made about cutting down or controlling your use of marijuana? And that includes yourself, too. 9. Has your use of marijuana caused problems with memory, concentration, or motivation? 10. When your stash is nearly empty, do you feel anxious or worried about how to get more? 11. Do you plan your life around your marijuana use? 12. Have friends or relatives ever complained that your using is damaging your relationship with them? If you answered yes to any of the above questions, you may have a problem with marijuana. So I went through this. I highlighted the ones that resonated with me, and this is when I was first trying to quit. And it's really crazy to think that was 2 years ago in August. Like, if I hadn't relapsed last summer, I would be coming up on my second anniversary. But hey, if I hadn't relapsed, and never would have found this podcast. So here we are. Only 2 out of the 12 I didn't highlight. All of them resonated with me except 7. Does your marijuana use let you live in a privately defined world? I guess at that time I didn't really understand what that meant, but I do now, because I think that is for those people who don't leave their house. Like, they just live in their own little bubble and smoke their bowl and just ignore the rest of the world. Like a privately defined world. And then 12, have your friends or relatives ever complained that you're using is damaging your relationship with them? No, because literally everybody other than my parents freaking smoke weed. So like that was the glue that held us together. Like that was our relationship, was we would hang out and smoke weed. If anything, it was the opposite. When I decided I wanted to quit smoking weed, their use was damaging our relationship. And that's the thing I have such a hard time with, like stoners and drinkers and cigarette smokers. It's like some of them, it's not just something they do, it's like who they are. Like it becomes their identity, like straight down to the core. And I get that. Like I identified as a stoner, you know. Back in high school, I used to get off on the fact that it was like I was a rebel. Like I thought it was cool. Like I liked being dangerous and breaking the rules, and I don't know. And I think when we decide to quit, it's hard to come to terms with that. It's so seeped in our identity. It's hard to let that go. Like, who am I without smoking weed? What am I going to do with my time? Let me tell you, you're going to do everything with your time. You're going to have so much time. Because first of all, you're not spending time or wasting time smoking weed. And second of all, you're not just high, sitting around on the couch watching TV, playing video games or whatever it is that you do. And like, you're going to be living life. And you're going to be doing all the things that you always procrastinated and put off and never got done. You're going to paint the fence and organize the closet and, you know, tackle that to-do list. And it's going to be like, it's nothing. And you're going to be like, dang, it took me 3 years to do this. So, yeah. Literature. Get your hands on some. Get your ass in a meeting. It will help. I promise you guys. Like, the support is amazing. Another book you guys could check out is Quitting Weed, The Complete Guide by Matthew Clark. He goes in here and describes the stages of quitting. First, you got your initial thought. Then you got increasing doubt. Then you got first profound revelation, initial quitting attempts, denial, return to smoking, committing to smoking, relapses, gradual progress, acceptance, and sober identity. Oh, hey, look at that. I was just talking about that. And then last, freedom. So I don't want to go through and read all of those, like the actual description of it, but I think the identity part is important. So it says, now that you have a long streak of being weed free as a reference point, it is beyond obvious which life you prefer. The sober life is indefinitely better than the high life. As the first months of being weed free go by, your sober identity becomes more firmly established. For those who had gone years without barely spending more than a week sober, this is really significant. You have finally reached the point where you are easily living life without weed, something that you could barely imagine at the beginning of the quitting process. And then the last stage, it says freedom. You have firmly rooted yourself in your sober life with new friends and hobbies and new perspectives. You're now living a post-weed life. Confident and certain, you know why you must stay quit. That's a weird way to say that. You have a healthy respect for cannabis and the power it holds over you. You know where that road leads. You may find that weed doesn't even tempt you anymore. I think that's where I'm at, guys. Like, I just feel so much freedom. I feel free to be me, to make the choices that I want. I feel the strength and power to make good choices. So, again, I'll be praying for you guys. I can't wait to hear from more listeners. I can't wait to hear from more listeners saying, hey, I've hit 20 days, 30 days. Whatever it is, guys, it's an accomplishment. Celebrate it. Any day that the addict abstains from their substance is a fucking miracle. So for real, take it one day at a time. You got this. Take care, guys.